Hi, everybody. Welcome back to the Inspire Health Podcast, and thank you for joining us again on our newest series, Living Freely. And we've had a few discussions already, so make sure to tap into this one. We came across our guests today, which are Kristen and John Nolan, and they run they're creators and co-founders of the platform Inspired. And, you know, guys, back several years back when we first came across some of the videos that you guys were putting together, and they were just beautiful, like literally to the point of moving us to tears. Like, you had this way of creating these. I mean, some of the ones I remember specifically with some of the Hopi prophecy and some of the different content that you guys would do from that. But you'd have this beautiful scenery. You'd have these really powerful words in the background with perfect music. And it was heart expansive. You couldn't help but listen to it and just feel like, oh, and that was during some pretty rough times there when it absolutely felt like you needed something to inspire you, that there was something bigger going on. And so that's when we first came across your work. For the audience that isn't too familiar with you guys yet, Kristen and John are life lovers, parents, inspirators, free spirits, teachers, creators, and co-founders of Inspired. And this is a pivotal moment in our shared human story where, above all, truth, authenticity, and freedom matter the most. Kristen and John are inspired to bring back truthful information and spiritual wisdom to the center of the human conversation. In 2019, they started their YouTube channel called Inspired and have reached far over 100 million people since. Through videos, music, retreats, courses, speaking engagements, and many other ways, they seek to show how both the connection to our Creator and spiritual and physical self-reliance are the key to a free and sovereign life. And that's really what this series right now is all about and why we wanted to reach out and have you guys on the show. So welcome. Thank you so much for joining us.
Well, thank you for having us. It's an honor.
This is a conversation we've been excited about because we've been following some of your work for the past several years. And then the more we kind of listen to you and hear you guys, and it's just been, you know, in our own ways, been in a very similar path. And you guys started back in 2019, and that was around the same time we started the podcast, was back in beginning of 2019. And, you know, ours started more with really more around alternative ways of health and whatnot, from my background being a naturopathic doctor and an osteopath, and blending all of those worlds and stuff. And then once everything kind of started to spiral, we really opened it up to have a much larger conversation outside of just health, but really looking at the physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, the metaphysical, like, and we'd have conversations. The first series we did around that was science, mysticism, and beyond. And we'd have conversations with roundtables with doctors and shamans and indigenous elders, and just, you know, talking about what's going on. And you'd start to see these layers of truth overlapping, you know, between these very different perspectives, but you'd see where the truth was kind of falling. So,
and we realized that you can't really talk about well-being and physical health without incorporating the physical, beyond the physical, the mental, emotional, and especially the spiritual. Like, that's really is at the heart, and it's like the template that then dictates everything else from that point. So yeah, very aligned in vision and mission. And you guys are also family with children just like us. So we thought that
older kids, but
you guys have older kids. Yes.
How did this start up for you guys in 2019, for the viewers that haven't heard too much of it yet? How did you guys start the YouTube channel Inspired, and how did that process start up?
So I think our whole work is kind of has two significant chapters. And the first one was, we had no intention of starting a YouTube channel whatsoever. Or, you know, we've been in the work of public service, if you will, not public service in terms of government, but serving people for many years in different ways, right? And so when 2019 rolled around, it was a morning in April, and it was 4 a.m. I come out of a deep meditation. It was a beautiful meditation. And the Creator literally put words in my mind, said, start a YouTube channel and call it Inspired. It was very, very clear. And that has been my word. Inspired had been my word for many years already. So it was all just, and at that moment in time, it was, you know, in my life, in our lives, we'd realized that when something comes through so clearly, even if it's illogical, even if it doesn't fit with your current program that you got going, you just go for it. I mean, and that's what I did. And for a few days, I kept it to myself. And then I'll tell Christine about it. And she was totally on board. And so we started that work. And it was just things that were put in front of us, if you will, right? You know, it's like waking up, and that's still the formula today. You wake up in the morning, you connect, or if you had disconnected overnight, you reconnect. And then you kind of get an idea of where things are going, what might be important right now, and whatnot. And then a year later, pretty much, you know, to the day, the second chapter began. And that really was that happened for you or to you.
Yeah, I was in the shower and I got that download, that whole picture of you guys, you have to start live streams and you have to talk to people and help them with their fear, help them with their anxiety, because, you know, all of that pandemic rolled around at that time. So people were very uncertain, you know, and so we started really daily live streams, Monday to Friday or Saturday, even. I don't remember anymore.
No, we were
anymore.
Going 7 days a week.
Or 7 days a week. There you go. So we started really doing daily live streams. People could ask questions. And I've been a life coach and many more things for over 20 years. So we answered as best as we could all the questions and helped as best as we could. And this is kind of like how this whole thing really got started then.
Well, people tend to forget that, you know, the spring and early summer of 2020 was probably the most intense time that anyone had ever lived through. That wasn't in a war or something. You know what I mean? It's like, the level of fear, uncertainty was just completely through the roof. And so these daily live streams, it wasn't a huge group of people. It was like a couple hundred, maybe that tops that showed up, but it was a safe space. You know, people could ask questions. We did exercises together, techniques, breathing. And so it was just something that it was an anchor point for a while. And that changed the trajectory of our life and our work as well, because, you know, that shapes you. If you experience something, and it sort of created this dynamic of the tribe, if you will, of the Inspire tribe, really. It got that feel of a something
family.
Something connects us now, you know, that's deeper than you have a channel and people are watching. There's an experience that we went through and ultimately healed through, right? And expanded through together. And that's what makes our connection, at least in our perception, to our audience so special. It's literally a family, extended family. It's wonderful.
Yeah, I think that was one of the biggest things that we would even find through our channel, just people jumping on the conversations. Sometimes they were live, a lot of times they were recorded, but we, you know, you get feedback where people just felt like, you know, you're talking about certain things that a lot of people are thinking about, are not too sure even where to talk about them or what's going on. And just to feel like, okay, I'm not going crazy. I've got some, and there's other people talking about things too. And, you know, there's a community, and in the community would happen. I'm sure you guys found this too, but like really fast. Like it found like as soon as people kind of found that resonance, it was like, whoa, right away. I mean, I just found like even with different guests that we would talk to, when you'd have these conversations, whatever it might be, it felt like you bonded with them really quickly. Like it didn't take very long. It's like all these layers of connecting seems to kind of go away, and you're just there, you know, and it happens exactly. A lot faster. Mm-hmm.
That's exactly what happened. Yeah.
You said something I think really important at the very beginning, which to me is kind of foundational for these times. And you talked about getting up in the morning and connecting, and then just almost letting the pace present itself to you as far as what needs to be done. This is a complete turnaround for how most people's lives work. Usually,
and how we've been trained, how we've been programmed in schools to make a life, make a living.
And I've found very similar. This is how our world kind of starts too, is it starts off in the morning and it's usually a lot slower of just getting back in your body, connecting back and letting whatever pops up, let that be the next thing that needs to get done, rather than immediately going to the brain and trying to figure out your big to-do list. Has that changed for you guys, or has that always been that way? Or
I feel like I speak for myself now. I feel like I always had a wonderful connection with the creator. That's how I call it. And we've done many wonderful things together, but I feel like it increases and increases and increases. And the connection just gets deeper. And I feel like daily meditations were a huge part of that. I mean, maybe there are people out there that can do that without that. I in my experience, the daily deep connection and the just being in this round together is a huge part of it, in my experience.
You know, for me, it was really, and we both come from, you know, kind of business backgrounds in our families, like both our families.
Yeah, nobody was meditating in our own
businesses. It was more the old paradigm structure. You know, you do from, you know, basically because they all own businesses, they were working all the time anyways. But my experience was sort of a surrender. You know, it's like I look at life. Life is really a flowing experience. It's like, you know, the wave rolls on the beach and then, you know, it retracts the water, and it's a flow. It's a constant movement. And it has a balance, you know, that sort of dictates everything else. And to me, the surrender to that flow was really, it was quite a significant experience, because it was this last sort of attempt of the ego. No, I need to be in control, right? I need to have the structure. I need to follow this. And we do follow structure. Some things are really great, but we do constantly, you know, we examine that and go, hey, is it time to change something up, right? When you fall, so when the procedure becomes more important than the experience, then we go, okay, let's switch it up a little. Let's do something else. But the principle is the same. It's surrendering to this greater connection. And to me, that doesn't mean I'm giving into someone else's will more than I'm connecting to, you know, maybe a greater purpose that I co-created before I came here. And that really is, it's a daily practice in this life, especially if you do what we do and you guys do. There's so much, there's electromagnetic stuff. There's all these impressions, right? So if you don't have some way to establish that authentic, truthful connection on a daily basis, you slowly but surely start losing yourself. And so this is still the key point. And if we ever feel like we're losing it, we, you know, there's plenty of things we do. We go spend more time in nature. We play with our dogs. We're down in stream. We're out in the garden. But that is the fundamental point of, you know, what drives our work every day.
I think that the slowing down time and the time in nature has been a huge one for us too. And it gets us back into our own nature, which is ultimately what we're trying to connect with. And I know with the not giving over to another will, I know for me, it feels like you're aligning yourself with, you know, the will of God or whatever is like a much more powerful field than what my ego identity can do on its own.
It's a free will thing. That's what I mean. It's a free will, right? You're not, it's not so much submission to it. It's a partnership. I feel like it's a partnership. Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's beautiful.
An ongoing conversation.
Yeah. Mm. Well, and that's where you get your inspiration from a lot of times, you know, it's like, it just pops in moment to moment at different times. You know, I'm curious, you guys have been doing this stuff for a while too, and even, you know, inspired. And I think inspiration is a really powerful field for people to connect back into, because it, you know, creates so many, you know, gives people more hope. It gives people more volition. It lets them expand a little bit more. Are you guys, for the most part, are you in a state of inspiration most of the time? Do you still have your ups and downs and your ebbs and flows, you know? The Inspire Health Podcast will be right back.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Very rarely, do we have those up and downs. I wouldn't say it's a constant state of inspiration. It's a more a constant state of being in balance. That's how I would describe it.
Yeah, inspiration, if you look at the word in spirit, right? So that's pretty easy to feel whether you're in it or not, right? I mean, that's just, it's such a powerful thing to be in the spirit or not in the spirit. But we're human, like, you know, we'll have conversations. I'll give you an example. Like, one of the most impactful interviews I had done was with Kathy O'Brien, who was, you know, from pretty much birth on in the MK Ultra and Project Monarch, and just some of the most horrific things that, or one of the most horrific things I've ever heard of. And so in the preparation for that, you know, I read her books, and then, you know, we got to know her and became friends and all, but that was in and of itself an experience that was traumatic. Just reading that, I can't even imagine experiencing those things. But I feel like, you know, there's a little bit of a trade-off here. And that is, with, as always, with the exploration of truth, you find the most balanced state you can. You shine your light as bright as you can, and then you go down that rabbit hole if you need to. And I feel like we need to. And then you do the best you can to stay balanced. And when you fall out of it, then you balance yourself again. So that is, for me, the responsibility in this work, to maintain that balance. But it happens, man. We get sometimes we get sad. Sometimes we get angry. We're humans, right? But there's no, I can't remember a whole day that was just a bad day or a sad day. It's maybe an hour or two, or we're allowing it, right? Because, yeah, you know, suppressing it doesn't do any good. But we are human. I mean, there's no doubt about it.
Yeah, I think that's really important for people to hear, though, because I think, like, from the outside looking in, sometimes, and this has been, I think, a thing that's happened with spirituality a little bit too, where it's almost like this is what it's supposed to be like, and you're kind of always in this Zen sort of state. And I honestly feel, personally for me, it's like I actually think I feel more deeply both sides of it at different times. Like, I can feel, you know, I mean, we've interviewed Kathy several times and become friends with her too, and I remember the first time we did went through that, and there was a lot of stuff coming up around that, because you just, like you said, you allow yourself to actually go into this world, and you can't help but do that. And I mean, blows your heart wide open, and it, and array of different emotions, but I feel like they filter through a lot faster. They don't get, yeah, caught up in the storyline that maybe anchors them, where people can stay in resentment for years. It's like you feel it intensely, and I feel like it kind of lets go and moves on, and it does its own thing. But I think it's nice for people to hear that it's like everybody still has real human emotions at different time, and it's not the goal, I don't think, is just to be somewhere up here all the time. I don't know if you can be in the world without experiencing the ups and downs with it, but it's that storyline, I think, on how much we get stuck in it.
You know, I call bullshit on all the gurus that are always up here, the ones, yeah, the ones that we met, and the real ones. I mean, the most. Our best teachers, you know, it was, one of them was a freaking chain smoker. He was sitting there drinking his espresso, chain smoking, and he looked nothing like a spiritual teacher. But boy, the lessons that he taught us, and they weren't even like packaged in some beautiful rose looking thing. It was just, here's the truth, you know, deal with it.
Yeah.
he would just sometimes be very harsh. And I like truth. I like honesty. Now I'm almost allergic to the fake spiritual bullshit, and there's so much of it out there because it's an infiltrated community. And that's something Christine has an even much harder time sometimes dealing with.
Yeah, I feel like the spiritual community has been so infiltrated over the last 20 years. And I almost have an allergic reaction when I read comments like, but you shouldn't focus on what you don't want because this is what you will attract. And I'm like, oh, Lord. But it had, the infiltration was great and people, you know, lived their lives with that motto. I feel like all those channels that are still promoting that, they have done a great disservice to human beings because they never learn to deal with their own stuff. And that's the most important thing, to heal your own wounds. How can you be of service for anyone out there, for your family, for your children, for your husband, for anyone, if you have so many unhealed traumas, anxieties, and whatnot? And I mean, usually we are at that point now where all of that expresses in some sort of illness. And people still, or very often rather, take some sort of pills than really going to the root of where is this all coming from. And I always say, if people would know how really easy it is to heal from all these traumas and these anxieties. And the thing is, we all, I have not yet met a person that hasn't experienced some sort of trauma in their upbringing or even when they were an adult. It doesn't really matter. We all had that. We all have things that we were afraid of or that were really horrible that happened to us. But it's like being stuck in that and doing everything but not looking at that. This to me is sometimes, but they've done a great disservice, and many people are still in that mindset. Oh, let's just not look at it, and then, you know,
it'll go away.
It will magically go away somehow. And this is just not something I can be quiet about, because this is just not the truth and this is not how it works.
I think that is really what it's boiled down to for us. It's, if it's one word that really matters more than anything else, it's truth.
Yeah.
And there's no, you know, and the truth truly does set you free. It doesn't mean it makes you feel comfortable in the moment always. And I think that's kind of what this is, by the way, such a North American thing. You know, no other culture has such a problem with momentary discomfort for, you know, a greater healing down the line. It's like we're so addicted to the freaking, oh, we just picked the better feeling thought. We just picked the better feeling
thing.
Yeah,
but that's also, I just wanted to say, what they advertised over the last 30 years. Oh, you just have to feel better. Take the better, next better feeling thought. And this is really a disservice. This is horrible that...
You know, and it's a little different in other places in the world. The cultures are a little different. There's such a fast-paced culture here, and there's many great things about it. Like, don't get me wrong, but that's one of the things, is this inability to sit with something until it dissolves and subsides and heals. And that's a big part of our conversation, just helping people be comfortable with the momentary discomfort and going, okay, you know, there's a light at the end of the tunnel, but you got to walk through the tunnel. That's just the way it is.
And you know where we are right now in the world, all of us, global, this is happening on a global scale. It's, we're coming face to face with a lot of discomfort, with a lot of details that make us queasy and
scared
and scary and fearful, rightly so. And for us to not look at it or pretend it's not there, and we're seeing that pattern play out, you know, in the now as well. But I feel like by doing so, we're actually allowing that, which is manipulating, coercing, charging ahead with, you know, all the wrong things for ourselves, our families, our future. We're giving permission to allow those things to happen. So I think, you know, even with when frustration comes up or irritability comes up or anger comes up, how are we actually utilizing that charge, that energy, in order to create the changes that we actually want? And this is the part of spirituality that, this is why we feel also that it's been hijacked, because It doesn't have that. It doesn't allow us to work with that charge that naturally comes up when we see injustice, when we see things that are just wrong, that are happening around us and around the world.
Well, it's like you get really quickly disconnected from what your initial authentic, real sensation is. And you go right up to here to kind of see, what should I be feeling? What would be the higher thing to do? And this is where I think we've just got disconnected from real authentic being. And I've said this before, but when we talk about this creating a new earth, and to me, that's going to happen from everybody more and more stepping into just being their authentic self. And that is what the new earth is going to be. Every single individual showing up authentically as who they are. And then we see what that looks like.
And you know what? We're seeing these signs all around Vancouver Island. when we go to cafes, or when we go to, you know, we have this beautiful park called Bouchard Garden, and there's a carousel that is typically attended to.
Like a kid's carousel.
Yeah, that is typically attended to by little children and typically their grandparents in their 70s and 80s who are there. But regardless, there are so many signs that read something along the lines of, or to the effect of, aggressive behavior will not be tolerated. Any form of aggression will be met with,
and you'll be asked to leave, and all these things. And we sat there at one point, we're like,
one of the places that we went to was Oak Bay area, where like the folks that live in this area are really old, like 80s, 90s. And we're kind of looking around as we visited this cafe that we hadn't been to before. We noticed the sign, and I approached the barista and I said, like, do you guys typically get aggressive behavior?
You guys getting a lot of aggressive, violent behavior here, or at the carousel, or
are you just inviting it?
There's a couple parts to that, because it's like it sort of sets the stage that it's almost like,
don't get
almost unconsciously letting people know, like, don't even think about getting upset or anything along those lines, because there's consequences to it. And it's kind of putting it out there as if that's going on when it's not even going on.
That's the fake reality that's being created everywhere. And of course, what this sign really says is, you know, in case you get aggressive, we're going to meet it with passive aggressiveness, just so you know. We're going to passive aggressively remove you from the premise, which of course is another form of aggression. But hey, you know, while we're talking about the truth, but we just had a limited edition t-shirt. Actually, it's fine here.
I love the wording on this, by the way.
Yeah. Raise your standards, lower, not your
tolerance.
That's
perfect.
Okay. So, and to me, we have sort of, you know, we, for the longest time, like everybody else, we were in the space of, sure, we're going to tolerate, you know, you live the way you want to live. And as long as you don't hurt anybody or hurt my property, well, I don't care. I might not agree with it, but I don't have to. It's your life. And now it's in the space of, that's not the spirit anymore. The spirit is now, listen up. This is how you will behave. This is how you will speak. This is how you will use words and grammar. And I'm like, bullshit. Fuck off. Because who are you to tell me? Who are you to even put me in a box of behavioral standards? You know, I've just as much right to be here on in this plane as anybody else. And so there's come this zero tolerance moment. If I walk into an establishment that posts stupid shit like this, I'm out of there. I'm not giving them my money. I'm not supporting their business, because it's like, it's not even kindergarten. It's insanity. So we've become very intolerant, and sometimes maybe to a fault. Sometimes we should maybe step back and go, let's have a conversation. But I just, you know, I'm very freedom loving like that.
Same here. Same here. I don't want to be told by anyone else what to do, what to say, how to address them or whatever. We rarely went out even before all of that happened. But now we are really very, very, very rarely we go out or go into, you know, those crowds or anything like that. I just can't. So
but we also live in the South in Tennessee, so it's a very you know, people think it's super conservative, it's super religious. It's really more common sense kind of, you know?
Yeah. And this how it would, yeah.
Live and let live, you know, it's like, as long as you don't harm anybody, none of my business. And I think that it's a very respectful approach. So we don't have that kind of thing here. But, it, you know, it seems to be also, you have the center of the nation that's kind of, you know, the center south that kind of works by these principles. And then you have the coasts that are edgy. And it seems to be north and south kind of the same. It's very interesting how geography seems to play a role in this. But it does. It does.
Mm. You have a video on your channel, Make Death Great Again. And I actually came across it soon after my father passed away, just a few months ago, a couple of months ago. And we've been exploring this as well, in that we actually did a good long series on
over 20 guests rounding out death, dying, and beyond.
Yeah, and I want you to speak a little bit more on that, if you don't mind, in your perception of death and how that might have even changed these past few years.
Well, and how why that's an important conversation around death as far as how we show up even living now.
You know, I think we're all conditioned to look at everything in boxes. So everything is an isolated experience, you know, you know birth and then you know,
upbringing.
Your upbringing, and then you have adulthood, and then real life begins, and then you have all these boxes, right? And the truth is, this is a very fleeting experience that we've, you know, I'm speaking personally, I've had it many times, you know, I've had many incarnations, but it's a very fleeting experience. And we have sort of, we mark the as the beginning of life, you know, birth is that marker, and then we have this, the deathbed, that's the other marker. And so we look at this very short period as if that is our life, when truly it is infinite beyond that, before and after, right? So if you just think about that concept, then, you know, why would you ever get scared of leaving one experience to move into another? We do it during life. But of course, death is not talked about, you know, the truth about it, it's not talked about. It's ritualized in our society as a dark, as a scary, and as a thing that needs to be avoided at all cost, when it is the only certainty in this physical experience is that ultimately we're going to leave this body at one point.
So religion played a big, huge role in that.
So there's a complete irrational, illogical approach to that. And you can only really start approaching it from a more wholesome standpoint when you have a spiritual connection. So unless you have it, don't even start a conversation, because it's useless. But when you have it, and when you truly have it, then, you know, you wonder, is there a purpose to all of this beyond this lifetime? Did my purpose start before it? Does it extend beyond it? And then you don't live with this ticking clock. You know, I got to get all of this done. I only have one chance. YOLO, you only live once. And all of this perceptional bullshit, it's just not true. And all of a sudden you find yourself in a much more real place of in the moment, right? And so then you go into the sadness. And the only sadness that we really have is that we can't see the physical expression of a spirit anymore. That's why we're sad. We can't go and call that person, have a conversation, go get coffee. That's over. But can we connect with them? Sure. Can we connect with their spirit? Can we have conversations? We can have all of these things. And they're not sad when they're leaving, by the way.
Yeah.
There's no communication ever with someone who's passed on, other than when they feel trapped somewhere where they say, you know, this is so horrible. These things usually don't come through. But I will add this too. There's two things that program this into us. It's how birth is orchestrated right now, which is a traumatic experience bringing you into this life in a hospital, you know, with the same personnel that is treating illness, cancer, and whatnot. It's like you're in the same building that is tragedy for a lot of people. And then you go, oh, here's the most miraculous thing. And we're going to do this here in this cold room with strangers. And they pull the baby away and they, you know, they immediately cut the cord. I mean, all these things, trauma number one. And then the idea is, towards the end of life, people go into a nursing home and they're away from their loved ones and they are depending on strangers and they're usually being treated horribly. That's the reality. So then you create another set of traumas. So then when you actually transition, you're not connected. You're not in the spirit. And I think that's where a whole nother trap sets in. And that's where the illusion of this matrix kicks in, where you're being seduced to recycle back into this matrix rather than move on to greener pastures. And I think that is literally what all this is about. The whole cultural perception around death, the whole programming is simply to bring you to that point where you forget who you are, who you truly are, so that you come back here to the Lush farm, if you will, and produce more of those, give more to the matrix. That's the conclusion kind of we're coming to here.
The Inspire Health Podcast will be right back.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. The station that makes you feel good.
Here in Canada, we have the
maids.
Yeah,
which has gone
bigger and bigger these past few years. Believe it or not, the hospice where that's closest to us is 6669, like that's the address of the hospice.
Of course it is.
I mean, you can't make this stuff up.
You can't make this up.
It's such a.
And it's being pushed. Anybody who experiences, uncomfortable symptoms from cancer or neurological disorders, I mean, you name it, things have been coming up these past few years. And it's like, oh, well, we have this option for you. So you go to the counselor's office and they give you that as an option. You go to, my dad was met with this numerous times. He would go in for one set of medication for his prostate and he would be
come back with pamphlets on meds,
how to make it easier to exit. And the first time that happened, my mom was just, she came down and her face was pale and she was bewildered. She's like, we went for medication refill and they gave us this. What is going on? She didn't even know how to place it. And their English is not fluent. So she just wasn't sure if she was understanding it all correctly. But it's a bizarre world right now that if you're really not aligned and connected to spirit and who we truly are, what we are and where we've come from, then it's really easy to get lost in the fog.
Well, and through some of the conversations we had in that series we did on death and dying, something that I think was really important to consider was, a lot of times people say, well, this is to ease suffering and whatnot, and you can chalk a lot of stuff up thinking that that's what things are under. But as one of the guests was talking about, breaking it down from, when you start to really look at the physical, emotional, mental, spiritual, these other bodies, a lot of what we do that maybe, quote unquote, we think is easing suffering is actually increasing suffering in other ways, in other types of realms or other dimensions of who we are. And because things are so physical based, and that's what we get hooked up on, we actually in many ways can create a more difficult time to actually move, for the spirit to kind of move on and transition in the way that it's supposed to. So it just, it's like, again, it reminds me, it's this thing, we know so little about the absolute reality. And if we were able to, and I think as we see more and we connect with more, our decisions around stuff gradually start to change. We start to expand upon that, and what we think might be a good idea, we sort of see it from another perspective and a whole lot of other layers to it that we weren't thinking about.
What I always found fascinating is that the two most significant events in physical reality that one has is birth and death, right? I mean, those are, for this physical life. And we perceive, and that's at least perception, one to be voluntary, right? The creation of new life. I mean, people do it subconsciously or just for other reasons, and that's a consequence of it. But truly, it's a conscious decision. You know, when a man and a woman come together, that's the most natural consequence is new life. So that's a voluntary thing. That's a creative, conscious decision. And yet we think of death as being this involuntary thing that just violently, whichever way you slice it, kind of happens to us and we all have to suffer through it. But the truth is that so many accounts and so many cultures and so many stories tell us that this wasn't always the case, and that it was a voluntary celebratory process where somebody decided for whatever reasons that this was the time, and they went through this process that's in some cultures called samadhi, right? You have this, you voluntarily exit the body. And the Paramahansa Yogananda did this in front of an audience, right? In the 40s and or early 50s, I forget the date, in LA. And the body didn't decompose for a very long time. And it was just a show of, well, this is how it was actually designed to be. It's a whole different experience. It removes the violence from it. It removes the shock from it. And all of a sudden, I think you find yourself, when you leave, in a completely different space, in a different consciousness than what the experience on average is now. I also don't think that accidents and all of these things were natural. I think they're just a consequence of our unnatural lifestyle.
For sure. Absolutely. You know, I remember Dr. David Hawkins would talk about that, and he said at level of consciousness of around 600, which is level of infinite peace, you choose. It's your choice. You can leave the body or stay in the body. And he talked about his own experience with that, basically lying down, and at a certain point decided, might as well stay in the body. Don't need to go back and do some other stuff. But I mean, there's lots of accounts on that. At a certain level of consciousness, I think we bring our choice back.
That's how we feel.
Mm-hmm.
At this time, when, you know, on the topic of death, I feel like we're just seeing so many things dying, so many systems dying, decaying, just their time is done and it's passing. On that topic, what are some of the main conversations you've been having recently with just the change in systems, a change in times, a shift that we're going through?
And what we're maybe actually going to be bringing in together?
Well, I think, and this is just my feeling and perception, that right now we talked about that actually, I don't know, a couple of days ago. We get a lot of emails. People want to fight the system and go against the system and do this against the system. I have the feeling that if we create, and we are already creating so many beautiful new systems, that the old system at one point will just be obsolete. I don't think that the fight against it will be very fruitful. I always think that the creation of something that we really desire, or we imagine or we envision, that this is has way more energy than the fight against something. I also think that everyone that can see and hear and feel knows that these systems are holding on to their last breath now. And at least here in the United States, I feel you can feel that if you just tune in a little bit, you can feel that it's about to explode. But I think we should not get carried away and remain focused and remain very open to what we actually really want, because now we have observed, seen, gone through what we actually don't want. And almost nobody wants that old system anymore. So I think staying on course to creating something new, this is our new challenge now. And I think we are not, as a society, we are not at a point where we don't need a system anymore. I don't feel like this. If I look around, we need a system, but we need a system that serves us. We need a system where the system knows that it came through us. From a family constellation standpoint, I always talk about that, that there is, you know, the creator, and then under the creator, there's us humans. We were created by the creator. And then we humans, one day decided that we need some structure, and we created all these governments and agencies and whatnot. But from a constellation standpoint, the creation came through us. So they cannot be above us. And nowadays they even are above God and think that they are the Almighty.
The Omega, yeah.
And so if you really understand that picture, then I think we can create great new structures. So also that the structure understands the position that it is in, you know what I mean? That it's here to serve us and not command us or dictate us or enslaves us.
Mm-hmm. That's really interesting that you even mentioned that. It was just last night we were doing a course that was kind of more around law and how to,
like a sovereign master class.
Yeah. And really it's been structured like that. It's like, you know, the people should be the executor and the beneficiary, but we've been labeled now as the trustee. And it's like getting that whole thing turn back around again, so that, and this is when I think of new systems, the new systems have to get back into what would be tied to how that should have been done originally, right?
But that's an understanding people have to realize. This has nothing to do with the system itself. This is why we always tell people that are asking us, so where do we have to sign to be sovereign or free or whatever? I'm like, whoop. You're still recognizing the government above you, because God would not care about that piece of paper that you would sign. So you know what I mean? So this is why this is such a spiritual process we are in right now. As long as people do not understand where their position is in that whole system we are in, it's hard to create something new, because as you said, the system should be something where we all benefit from. And right now it's the complete opposite, and God does not even have a place in it anymore. So this is even left out, at least in my perspective. So,
mm-hmm. Well, I think what happens in that process, like you're talking about, when, you know, that understanding where we really do get it, what I think then happens, or at least what I know, and this is an ongoing journey for us too, but it's you have stricter boundaries on what you tolerate and what you don't tolerate, and you start to say no very specifically to things that don't match that, and mm-hmm. you feel it. And I start to feel like a slap in the face after a while when something is coming at it from that perspective and not the way that it feels like it should have originally been set up. Mm-hmm. And then mm-hmm. I think as we develop those boundaries, and more people have those boundaries, and the focus then on, so you don't have to go actively against something, but just mm-hmm. know where your boundaries are and exactly. focus on creating these new ways that are in alignment with that. This comes to the end of our time for this episode. Please go to inspirehealthpodcast.com and listen to the remainder of this important episode. Thank you so much.